Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Live the Promise.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope it's been a good day and a great week, maybe even a breakthrough week. I hope it's been that way for you. Well, today I want to talk with you about prioritizing your physical health. And I'm going to do another segment next week on prioritizing your spiritual health. You've maybe heard about one of my older books. It was called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. It's about 13 years old, but we put that thing to bed a little while ago, and Harvest House re-released it under a new title. I wrote about 20,000 new words to add to the book. We just updated it, revised it. It's beautiful, gorgeous cover. It's titled In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. And I want you to know throughout today's show that we've got five copies, thanks to Harvest House, five copies to get into your hands. We're going to do a little bit different this today for the drawing. Email me directly, okay? If you want a copy of the book, want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie spelled S-U-S-I-E. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put in over your head or balance, and then don't forget your mailing address, all right? Well, I want to just talk with you about how it is we lose touch with the very things that nourish our soul. Balance, some say it's not possible. Others say it's possible, but it looks different on every person. I would say the same, that if you line up 10 people in front of a room, balance looks different on each one of us because we're each in our own unique season of life. But here's what's true about true sustaining balance. There are three components: input, output, and rest. Input, output, recovery. These are laws of nature, and they apply physically and spiritually. And we get out of balance when we emphasize one of those at the expense of the others. Too much input, too much output, too much rest. There is such a thing where we atrophy and we stop engaging our muscles, engaging our faith. Lots happens when we emphasize one at the expense of the other two. So today I want to talk just a bit about prioritizing your physical health. And if you look back over seasons in your life when you found yourself feeling irritable, frustrated, tired, and out of whack, maybe you're even there now, you realize, if you're honest and take an inventory, that a little at a time, you let go of what you knew was good for you. Maybe you filled your time with things that cost you, but they didn't nourish you in the long run. Well, I've learned that if you're willing to put even a few hours a week into physical and spiritual health, those disciplines will carry you a long way. And what happens is we kind of gather an accumulative strength as we go. When we're consistent and we practice that art of steady application, we develop an accumulative strength. We just do. But when we live like this kind of hit-and-miss lifestyle, with something as important as our physical or our spiritual health, we never really quite hit our stride. We never really enjoy the kind of life rhythm that God has for us. And, you know, we can all wonder this. You know, I want you to think about this. Why do we wander from the very things that nourish our soul? We wander from healthy eating, right thinking. We wander with time, wander from time with God. We wander from faithful friends, from quality time with those we love, from the challenge to grow deeper. And, you know, this is just true, that we lose the fight for what's best for us when we stop fighting altogether. We have to contend for the things God's promised us. We have to contend to live a thriving, potent, bursting at the seams kind of life. But somehow, for some reason, this happens to all of us. Our steps take us from that appointed road toward a less than best path for us. But we got to ask ourselves, do I really enjoy living a peripheral life? I don't think we do. Is it easier? Well, maybe it's more convenient, but I actually don't even think it's easier, because living a life of second best and stuck places, it wears on our soul. It steals our joy. It's not easy. It might be convenient, but it's not easy. But on the other hand, you know, in those moments when things line up for us and we're prioritizing the things we care about, passion emerges, joy returns, and don't you find yourself wondering, why in the world did I ever let this go? And yet we do let it go over and over again. So do you think it's that we don't care enough? I don't. I think we care a lot. But I just think our priorities get skewed because we live in a fallen world and the current of sin and defeat and indulgence are just strong. And if they're not resisted, they'll just pull us right under. And that's when we feel over our head. That's when we feel at the mercy of our crazy lives. And I believe it's true that as long as we walk this earth, we will contend with that current. But it shouldn't really shake us, right? Because God has made a way for us. We are not at the mercy of our schedules. We're not at the mercy of our culture. We're not even at the mercy of our weaknesses. Isn't that great news? Because we are in the mercy of God. And that mercy of God, it eclipses every lesser thing around us. That mercy of God even eclipses our weaknesses. And our weaknesses become a thing of beauty and strength because it's in that hidden place with Jesus where his strength abounds in us. This is what's true, and that's something I think we need to focus on when we think of a life of a sustainable rhythm, a life of balance. When I'm thinking balance, I'm interchanging that word of rhythm. There has to be an ebb. There has to be a flow. There has to be a recovery. It's not an all-out sprint. It's not a foot pedal to the metal, steady force. It's an ebb. It's a flow. It's a rhythm with God. And here's what's true for those of us who want to live that way. God is immovable. We are the ones who move. God is the one who's consistent. We have our moments. We're not going to do it perfectly all the time. God is powerful, yet we are powerless without him. All of God's thoughts towards you, all of his thoughts altogether, they're always pure and holy. But our thoughts, if we're honest, can be selfish. They can be small. We need Jesus. And just as we need oxygen to breathe, we continually need Jesus' input, his breath, his spirit, alive in and through us. And he is our source, so we've got to just stay close to the source. So given that backdrop, I just want to ask you a question. How are you today? If you were to take an honest inventory of your soul, of your health, even your disciplines, where would you land? And so here are some thought-provoking questions for you. Do you wish you had more energy? I mean, I do. I'm getting there. I'm very consistent about life balance and health issues because I've needed to be, but they've paid me back in great dividends. But I always can tell when my energy diminishes that I've let go. I've let go of the hold on the things that I know help me steward my life in the long run. So if you lack energy, it might be time to pause and go, what kind of adjustments, course resets do I need to make? Well, maybe you lack focus and passion and a sense of direction. Once again, it might be time to stop and take inventory and look at what you've allowed in your life and in your heart or what disciplines you've let go of, maybe what thoughts you started to rehearse that have somehow brought you kind of into the ditch or got you kind of at least stuck on the side of the road where you're not moving forward. Do you feel at the mercy of your schedule? Is life pulling you in too many directions? If so, it's time to stop. It's time to stop striving and know that he is God. It's time to look to the Lord and say, are you still blessing all this stuff that I'm doing? Look at your schedule. Look at all your commitments. Look up and say, God, are you still blessing this? Did I sign up for any of these things without your permission? Was this your will at one time, but now it's not? I dare you to pause and look up, ask some of those questions. So important for a course reset. If you want to get momentum and energy and vitality back in your life, dare to ask some of those questions. How about this one? Does the term spiritual health make you think of rigid rules and an unattainable, unsustainable, unmaintainable level of holiness? Because it's not that. It's an intimate, thriving walk with the Savior who loves you, who sings over you, who's always in a good mood and always glad to see you, who knows what's best for you, whose will for you is your best case scenario. That's the Savior. That's the shepherd that you follow. Let him lead. How about this? Would you like to be more physically fit? And would you like to enjoy a greater awareness of God's love for you? Well, my prayer for you is this, that at the end of this show and then next week when we talk spiritual health, that you will walk in a deeper revelation of who you are in Christ, because your particular season requires a whole particular set of disciplines. Rest is going to look different on you than somebody who's in a different season. Obedience is going to look different on you. But I pray in that place where you can accept not only the season you're in, but accept God's help and accept the fact that maybe some things you're doing need to change, then you'll accept God's forgiveness. You'll leave your past behind, and then you'll dare to trust Jesus with your future. So you can be fully alive in this present moment. And I just pray that your soul is awakened to all that you possess in him today. I'm praying that you become a living, breathing example of Christ's vitality, his energy, his love for a lost world who desperately needs to see him and know him and follow him so that when other people encounter you, they encounter him. That's my prayer for you today. So we're going to pause and take a short break right here. When we come back, we're going to delve into just the idea of savoring the flavor, of pausing and tasting your food, practical application just for a healthier lifestyle. I'm super excited to tell you that I've got 5 copies to give away today of this re-release. Now, remember, it used to be Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. So if you've read that book before and you get this copy, of course, there's some similar components, but there's updated information as well. The title now is In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. Love to get your name in the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put balance or in over your head in that subject line. Don't forget the mailing address, and don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise with Susie Larson.
Just had to let that play out. Boy, I love Toby Mac. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So I'm talking to you today about prioritizing your physical health, drawing from my book. It's a re-release from my old book from 13 years ago. It used to be titled Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. Well, publisher put that one to bed and re-released it under a new title, new cover. I revised and updated it last summer, and it just released. It's titled In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. We've got 5 copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, you email me directly this time. We're doing a little different today. So email me, Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put balance or in over your head in that subject line, and don't forget the mailing address. And this book, you know, as I said, it was released 13 years ago, but it was born out of a massive burnout for me that was about 20 years ago. And out of that place, when I started to put the big rocks in, when I started to prioritize things, we are still living in the fruit of that time. That the things that I learned back then and that you'll find in this book are just elements that have proven themselves time and time again. But I remember back then, I remember the day I was driving so fast, running so hard. It's like my good intentions had gotten the best of me. I'd said yes to far too many things, good things, and even some God things, but they were more than what God had asked me to do. And at that point, I was paying this costly price. And here's what's true. When you overcommit and say yes to too many things, things God never asked you to do, you have no room in your life for red lights or wide load trucks or leaky dishwashers. And I felt like every minute had its place in my day. And I literally whipped from one task to the next, checking them off on completion. But it's no way to live, because we can't do that. And if you just tuned in, you missed my opening. I pray you'll go back and hear it when the podcast is up, because true balance is sustainable. When you look at balance like rhythm, when you see balance as an ebb and a flow, input, output, release, input, output, recovery. And that's the truth, that we have an ebb and a flow to our life. There's a sustainable way to live. Balance isn't a perfectly put together appearance. And I'll get into that. I'll go through a list of what balance isn't. But what I want to say now is, I had the pedal to the metal. I was running at one speed, and maybe you're there today. You already know, I'm pretty sure, that it's not sustainable, and it's hard on your system, it's hard on your relationships, and it completely misses the point of the journey. So here I am, 20-something years ago. I remember this. My car sped around the bend. I'm chomping on my dry bagel. The trees went by in a blur, and the thought just whispered across my mind and my heart, savor the flavor. And I just kind of gasped. I said, what? Savor the flavor. It was the Lord just speaking to my heart. But I actually waved it away like it was a gnat circling my head, because I had to go to the bank and then the library and then reach the restaurant in time for my lunch appointment. I don't know how I ended up on that fast track again, but it's always there. It's always there, isn't it? Right there, just beckoning us to hop on. But then when you do that, you let go of your peace. While I shoveled down my salad, I listened to my friend, and there was the whisper again, savor. My friend and I had this great time, and it was over before I knew it, and I glanced at my watch, reminded me that I still had 3 stops to make before I needed to get home to get my kids off the bus. My friend and I embraced, and we promised not to let so much time pass before we met again, but the gurgle sounds in my stomach helped me realize that I'd eaten fast. I'd eaten too fast. I raced to the lunch too fast. I was listening to her and thinking about the next stuff that I had to get done before my kids got home. There was a whisper again, savor the flavor. I got out to my car, got behind the wheel. I turned the key, I revved the engine, and then I took my foot off the gas pedal. And I listened to that steady hum of the motor, and I just marveled at the irony. And I realized, you know what, this engine doesn't drive itself. I'm the one with the lead foot. Nobody really pushed me to such a fast pace. I was the one who was driving myself. So I paused and I prayed at that moment, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? And I sensed his whisper and I wrote it down when I got home. This is what he said to me. You're living in the next moment and missing the present one. You're so focused on your destination, you're simply consumed with getting there. Did you happen to notice the beautiful sky I painted this morning? And how about the trees? Did you notice how the trees were topped and blanketed with fresh snow? How about your salad today? You're so busy stabbing your next bite of food, you totally were unaware of that great morsel of food that you already had in your mouth. That taste was history before it even hit your lips. Wouldn't it be wonderful to savor the flavor of every bite of food in your mouth? Be thankful for the abundance of food in front of you. Take a moment to enjoy it. You're missing so much of the journey because your mind is on the destination. Are you there? Are you missing a lot of the journey because your mind's on the destination? Well, I don't know how long I sat there, but it didn't matter. My life needed tweaking, and Jesus had just spiritually adjusted me. And I realized how subtly and significantly, it happens subtly, but it events ends up being significantly that our lives go out of whack because we let go and we let go and we let go of the things that God has for us. Well, I decided that my other errands could wait, and I headed home, and I pulled back on the gas pedal. I slowed way down as I rounded that same bend, and I opened my window a little bit. I just took in the lofty pines that just pointed to the heavens, and I just let the breath and the crisp air just kind of land on my face. And then I whispered, Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. Then I watched my kids get off the bus, and instead of rushing to get that extra load of dishes done before they came through the door, I went to the living room, and I just watched them as they hoofed through the snow, and they had rosy cheeks and their thick winter garb, and they lobbed a few snowballs across the street to their neighbor friends. They ducked behind the snowbound to dodge the returning fire. And I realized, man, they grow up so fast. And I whispered another prayer, Lord, help me to make the best of these days. Help me not to race through each one. I want to see the miracles in front of me. May I remember that each day is a gift, wrapped in a supernatural bow. And by the way, thank you for that beautiful sky. It's going to be a great sunset. Now, this may sound hokey to some of you, but I'm telling you, maybe your fast pace is working for now, but that's it. It's just for now. It's not sustainable. But I challenge you, especially if you're tired and you're ready for a change, maybe try a few of these just practical application tips. If you feel hopelessly overcommitted while you're looking at just this next month's calendar, I challenge you, you're not stuck. You're not stuck yet. Sit down and pray. Ask the Lord to show you what can be rescheduled, what can go off your schedule. Make the phone calls, make the necessary adjustments. And I'm a good proponent, a great proponent of keeping your commitments, but I think there's times people have a martyr mentality when they shouldn't, when it would be better for you to say, I overstepped, I overcommitted, I'm so sorry, how can I graciously bow out of this? Because oftentimes, I would say all the time, when we step up to something God's not asking us to do, we're stepping in place of somebody God would have asked and raised up if we wouldn't have been so quick with the trigger, if you know what I mean. So I dare you, if you're feeling like stretched thin, worn threadbare, you've not taken time to care for your soul, sit down with the Lord and say, what needs to go? And give me wisdom to get the stuff off my schedule. I would say look at your calendar and X off a day or two each week when you plan not to have plans, especially those days that fall right before or right after an event or commitment. That's just practical application, especially those events that deplete you. If you know you're going to do something that's going to take a lot out of you, go ahead and block out, put an X on that calendar the day after. Give yourself some space. You'll always, always be glad that you did. Here's another one that I think will be super helpful for you. Write down a list of 5 high-priority items that you want to accomplish this next month. For example, maybe you want to go on a date with your spouse or your child. Maybe you want to catch up on paperwork. Maybe you want to call your mom. Call your mom, that's always a good thing. Or visit your grandparent. Well, I would say post that short list next to your monthly calendar. And when you receive calls and requests for commitments, measure those requests against the things that you felt convicted by God to accomplish at the beginning of your month. Guard your time and accomplish what you know you should. And I'm telling you, you could do that every single month. Every single month, Lord, what are some priority things that will get away from me, that matter to your heart, that really ultimately matter to me too? Goals that I need to accomplish, relational goals where I'm prioritizing the right things. Maybe it's, again, a date with your spouse or calling your mom. Maybe it's a date with yourself where you block off time to exercise. But put that list up next to your calendar and make it a priority. So if life's too busy, make the adjustments necessary. Find your place of peace again. Now, if you are in a place of crisis, whether or not it feels natural, I would tell you go after God in this place. But you need to know the adjustments need to happen. You got to find a new normal in that place of crisis. But here's another caveat. If you're in a long-term crisis, it's not sustainable to be, again, in sprint pace where you let go of all the things that are good for your soul. If you're in a long-term crisis, you got a loved one with a cancer battle that's going long. I know it feels selfish, but you have to do this. You got to take time. You got to sleep in your own bed sometimes. You got to take time with the Lord, just you and the Lord and your cup of coffee or whatever. You got to take time for exercise. I remember I was teaching on this to a group, and a woman came up to me and said that her husband had Alzheimer's. And she said, you can't believe how important that advice is that you gave, because she's had this sense of just not wanting to abandon him. So for months and months and months, she gave up all the things that were good for her soul, friendships, you know, time with God in the morning, exercise, all those things. And she shriveled. And once she realized this was a long haul kind of crisis, she went back to her water aerobics class. She got a hold of friends and had lunch once in a while. And she started to come alive again and found the grace, the sustainable grace, to be who she needed to be to her husband. So maybe that's you. If you're in a crisis, if it's a short-term crisis, you know, all bets are off. You just have to get through it, because that's what crisis is about. But if it's a long-term trial, I'm challenging you to find a new normal, find some things that are nourishing your soul, and put them, incorporate them back into your life. And maybe you already have a steady rhythm. Well, then I would tell you, keep it, guard it, and protect it, because it's easy to let it go. And at the end of each chapter, because I did a question on Facebook and asked people what keeps you grounded, just to prove the point that balance looks different on all of us. This dear friend named Heather said this. She said, I think when it comes to balancing out my life, I found that I need to go to the living water that gives life first. I need to stop the comparison game. Got that, friend? That's a good one. Stop the comparison game. And I need to listen to God's calling on my life. Because when I listen to God and I hear him speak, then he's the one who balances out the details. I could not agree with her more. Getting time with the Lord, stop the comparison game, listen for what God says, and then do what he says. Because he will never ask you to grind your gears. He's not after driving you into the ditch. He's not a workhorse. Remember what he says, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're tired, come to me, and I'll adjust a load to you that suits you perfectly. And she finishes by saying this, life can be a beautiful, messy balance, but God loves when the mess is blessed by him. I think that's perfect, don't you? We're going to pause here. And as you email to be in on the drawing, I'd love to know what keeps you grounded. Very interesting, right? And we're going to do the drawing different this time. I want you to email me directly. My name is spelled Susie, S-U-S-I-E. So Susie@myfaithradio.com. I'm drawing from the content of my re-release. It used to be called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't, 13, 14 years ago. It's been newly released, titled In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. Again, we've got 5 copies, thanks to Harvest House Publishers. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what balance isn't, kind of dispel a few myths, what it is, and we're going to get some practical application on diet, on exercise, and rest. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
This is an encore presentation of Live the Promise with Susie Larson.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening today. We're talking about prioritizing your physical health and tending to that inner life of yours. We tend to run the rat race, right? Somebody once said the devil drives, but the shepherd leads. And the thing is, when we live with our foot to the pedal all the time, it's not sustainable. Things break down, like our relationships, like our physical health, like our perspective, and there's an accumulative effect to it. And we tend to kind of just let go of the things that nourish our soul, and we find ourselves, the wheel kind of pulls left or pulls right. And the purpose of this conversation today is to just encourage you to make the tweaks that are necessary so you can be your best self. So today we'll talk physical health. Next week we'll talk spiritual health. But I'm drawing from my book. It's a new release. It's a re-release of an old book from 13, 14 years ago. It used to be called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. Well, it was kind of put out to pasture for a while. Then we brought it back out. I updated, revised it. Harvest House gave it a gorgeous cover, a new title, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. They've given 5 copies that we get to give away today. We're doing it a little different, so I'd love for you to email me directly, Susie, spelled S-U-S-I-E, Susie at myfaithradio.com. You can put balance or in over your head in that subject line, and don't forget the mailing address. If you just tuned in, I would love for you to go back and catch the podcast after the live show is over, because we really had some great conversation about kind of assessing why we let go of the things that are good for our soul. And the impact of that. So right now I want to talk about what balance isn't, because I've heard people say, well, balance is just not possible. They kind of put that word down. And I think, you know, depending on a perspective of balance, there's certain aspects of what people mean, or definitions, I should say, that aren't attainable, sustainable. But the kind of balance that I'm talking about has an ebb and a flow to it, and then a recovery. And I reference three core aspects of balance: input, output, recovery. Those are laws of nature, and they apply physically and spiritually. And when you have input, you need output. You need to engage, right? And then you need to recover. And when we emphasize one at the expense of other, whether it's spiritually or physically, you have imbalance. Input, let's say you eat too much, but you don't exercise. Well, you'll have imbalance, and your health will break down. Maybe you have too much output. Maybe you battle eating disorders, and you overwork out, and you don't get enough food, and you don't rest. Well, your body and your system will break down, and with serious consequences. On the same token, spiritually, maybe you're overfed spiritually, but you don't engage your faith. You don't stand in battle. You don't step in and serve in the ways God's calling you to. Well, there are impacts of that. We'll talk about that next week. But the whole point is, if we were to line up 10 people in the front of the room, balance looks different on each one of them. Maybe one person is coming out of a season of battle. It's just been war. And the Lord Jesus is leading them into a season of rest. Well, what? They don't have the obligations maybe that you do right now. Jesus is saying, actually, I want you to rest. I don't want you on 5 committees. I want you to spend time with me. Yes, I want you to serve in this way, and I'll give you grace to do it. But the emphasis of this season for you, obedience, balance, is rest. Now, maybe somebody else is coming out of a rest season, and he's like, it's time to engage. It's time to step up. It's time to step out and take on the giants in your land. Maybe you're in one of the steady states right now where God is saying you're on a need-to-know basis. And when you need to know, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, steward what I've given you. And you're bored, you're restless, you're tempted to take matters in your own hands. And balance for you is to keep nourishing your soul, stay faithful with what's in front of you, and trust that God will make his way clear when it's time. So you see what I mean? Balance looks different on all of us. And I'm a cyclist, as many of you know, and I was in the fitness industry for 15 years, many years ago. And back when I retired from fitness but would take cycle classes, I took a cycle class from a professional pro racer. She was amazing, and she just had this all-out mentality. And I remember when she was training for some major national race, and this coach took her on because her speed was phenomenal, her strength was amazing. But when she would show up, and he's coaching all these other pros, she won every race. So any drill they did, she won. She came in ahead. He pulled her aside and said, I'm not training you if you keep up with that attitude. And she said, well, what do you mean? And he said, each of these people are in different aspects of their training. And obedience right now, for this one over here, she's fleshing out her legs. She's just, she already did her hard workout yesterday. This one here, she's working on hills, so she's not supposed to do speed today. And you're showing up every time like your goal is to beat them. He's like, I can't work with you unless you put that ego away. If you trust me, he said, I will make you stronger, I'll make you faster, but it's on my terms, not yours. And she learned the power of momentum, and she would come to class and tell us about it. And she said, I learned that with long-term races, and this is long-term in life as well, that there are times all-out sprint. Yep, there are moments and seasons where you're hauling, you know? And then she would pull back, and she'd flush out her legs, and she'd let people pass her on these races. And then she'd go after a hill after a time of recovery. She was landing on the podium over and over again, getting medals over and over again, because she learned the secret of momentum, of ebb, of flow, of takeoff. And this is what's just true about life. We will find a sustainable pace if we can respect our limits and know there's a time for an ebb, there's a time for a flow, there's a time for recovery. So I hope that makes some sense. So now, what balance is not, here's one of the myths I think that people have, that balance is somehow a put-together appearance. Like the goal is to look totally put together. Well, balance is not that. I mean, some people have a knack for looking really put together, and I've met some of those people. I don't know that I don't think I'm one of those people. I definitely wasn't in the early years. But what some of these people have admitted to me, because, you know, you just see people, and some of them just look like a mannequin. They look like they were born put together. But I've talked to some of those people, and they've admitted to me behind the scenes, I work very hard on my external presentation, because they would say, my marriage is a mess, or my kids are astray, or we look perfect, we live in a perfect house, but we're on the verge of bankruptcy. And this is my one area I can control to try to look like I've got something together. And on the other hand, you look at somebody, maybe you've got you know somebody who's like a messy mom. She's a mom with little ones, and she's a messy, and her house is a mess, and she doesn't look put together. But you know what? She's prioritizing time on the floor with her kids. She's making good meals for her hubby when he comes home. She's balanced, and she's not caring what you think about her. So balance is not a put-together appearance, contrary to popular opinion. But I will say, as you prioritize the things that matter in your life will take on a more put-together appearance. But it cannot be the end goal, because what comes out of that is pride, frustration. People get in the way of your put-together appearance. You're tempted to compare yourself with each other, with other people. That's not good stuff, right? But as you pursue Jesus and you do what he tells you to, and you say no and you say yes, you have an ebb and you have a flow to your life, you, over time, a more put-together appearance will evolve. It just will. Here's another myth. Balance is not a perfectly managed schedule. So this is what's true, again, is that as you pursue Jesus, as you do what he tells you to and say yes to the things he's calling you to, as you put some time into your exercise, into your rest, into your spiritual life, you will have, as I said, a more put-together appearance. You'll probably manage your schedule better. But if that becomes the end goal, that you just check off stuff on your calendar, once again, people will become beside the point. You'll serve the almighty calendar, and you won't be open to just divine interruptions that Jesus might want to display in your life so he can use you. So you may end up with a more better managed schedule, I should say, but it's not the end goal. Balance is also not a life free of conflict and difficulty. You know, if you start to think that balance is nobody's mad at me right now, everybody's happy with me right now, you will be a slave to the fear of man's opinions. Conflict happens. It just does to everybody. We are fallen people. And there's a big difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. A peacemaker is somebody who will do whatever they can do to make sure no conflict happens. There's no peace. It's all, you know, the lack of peace is just boiling under the surface. But a peacemaker, so a peacekeeper, someone just kind of looking for the appearance, right? A peacemaker is willing to dig beneath the surface, is willing to face conflict with humility, with confidence, with love, with courage to say, we're going to get through this. I'm not going to be so quick to abandon a relationship just because it's hard. Some of the most put-together people right now on the planet are in conflict, and it's hard, but God's teaching them something. So don't try to think that you have or feel like you have to avoid conflict to be okay. You're going to be okay, right? So application here. I would challenge you to write down 5 things you value most in the world, and look at your time investments. Do your time investments reflect your values? And spend some extra time this week in prayer and ask God to give you a sense of what he's working on in you. Write it down, tuck it in your Bible, and pray about it till you start to see maturity in that area. Here's another one. Take some inventory of what drives you, of what your motivations are all about. Are you consistently doing or pursuing something so that others will think, fill in the blank, so they'll be impressed with you, so they won't be mad at you? Ask God to help you get away from that pursuit and just fill that empty place with him. And then I would say meditate this week on the fact that God loves you, just for who you are, not for what you accomplish. Allow yourself to be filled with joy at that thought. Well, as I mentioned, I posted on Facebook a while back, what keeps you balanced? What keeps you grounded? And I did that to prove that it's different for each of us. There's going to be some overlap, but I included these at the end of each chapter. And so Jane wrote this. I seem to be able to recognize when I'm out of balance. I get alone with God as quick as I can with my Bible, my journal, my gratitude notebook, sometimes at the beach or the library or even my dining room table. But I stay there until I hear from the Father, and I feel at peace again, that peace that passes understanding. That's how I know I'm back in balance. You know what? Peace is a great indicator that you're back in balance. So as I mentioned, balance has these 3 components. I think true sustainable balance anyway. Input, output, rest. Another way to look at that, input is nourishment. It's physical nourishment, spiritual nourishment. Output is your response to what's been deposited in you, and rest is that time to recover. And I would say in every situation, every season that we're in, there's a best way for us to nourish ourselves. There's a best way to respond to what's been deposited in us. And then there's a best way to be replenished again. I remember many, many years ago when they thought my youngest son had lymphoma. He had a plum-sized lump in his neck, night sweats. We brought him into the doctor. Within no time, we were at Children's Hospital, and they said they were telling us, getting us ready for what treatment would look like. It was so scary. Our lives were upended at that moment. We're sitting there. And, of course, I'm not going to go to the YMCA and get my workout in. I'm not going to go, oh, I have a lunch date. This is interrupting that. I was in a full-blown crisis. But as I sat there and thought, Lord, I'm always under your charge. I'm always under your care. What does obedience look like here, Lord? I don't want to lose my wits here. This is hard. We've got people praying. But I also know I'm a flow-through account of your blessing. So I'm receiving input, but there's always a call for response. There's always a call for output, and there's times to rest. What does output look like here? And the Lord pointed to another mom whose little one was bald, no hair. And the Lord whispered, she's been here a really long time. She needs a friend. Go talk with her. So I did. And that was seemed like a small offering. Nobody else, you know, now you know about it. But, I mean, it was just the smallest offering. But it was output. And it was like God was showing me that in every season he pours in so he can flow through. And then he gives us times of rest. So balance isn't a perfectly managed schedule. It's not a life free of conflict. It's not a put-together appearance. You'll have moments where those things are great to have. But balance, really, it's someone who walks with the Lord. Someone who's maybe you're comfortable in your own skin. You're free of the trap of comparison. You give others the benefit of the doubt. You believe the best. You consistently prioritize time with your loved ones. You refuse to allow the rat race culture to dictate your pace. You dare to say no to something you're not called to, even if you might disappoint others. You sense a call of God on your life, and you dare to say yes, even if you feel unqualified. You guard and protect your time with the Lord. You give yourself the gift of exercising several times a week, if you're able. And you're willing to interrupt that workout if a friend needs prayer or a child needs a hug. You pause to acknowledge God's presence and his love for you several times a day. You look for God's purpose, and you count on his provision, even in the crisis, even in the valley. You refuse, and you fight against a busy, harried lifestyle. You're willing to be teachable, flexible, to engage in self-control. You hate gossip. You love peace. You look at difficult people with God in mind. You hold tight to faith, hope, and love. So those are some thoughts. Those are just a few. But there's a long list, I think, of what balance looks like. But it ultimately, it's living in response to God. It's living in response to who he is. So here, before we take this final break, I want to give you just some practical application on eating and exercise. Plan within the next couple of days to take a brisk 20-minute, 45-minute walk and try to make it a habit. Go to bed a little earlier tonight. If you have little ones, allow yourself rest when they nap. I would say this week, eat less and pray more and see what happens. Say no. Use the word no when you need to. And then at the end of the week, do a balance inventory and make note of what you did well and where you want to grow. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm drawing from my book, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. 5 copies. Love to get one into your hands. Just email me this time, Suzy@myfaithradio.com, Suzy@myfaithradio.com, and put balance or In Over Your Head. And don't forget that mailing address. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about food and a little bit about rest. We'll be back in a minute.
This is an encore presentation of Live the Promise with Suzy Larson.
Well, the band was playing, the flags were waving, and there you were, in the middle of a sunny day parade. The crowds were cheering, the sky was clear, not a worry in the world.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. If you just tuned in, I hope you'll go back and catch the podcast once our live show is over today. I'm drawing from the content of a book that just released by Harvest by me, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. And I'll just say it's a re-release from one of my old books called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. I revised, updated, and we've got 5 copies to get into your hands. I would love to get your name on the drawing. Doing it a little different today, email me directly, Suzy@myfaithradio.com. Suzy@myfaithradio.com. But we've been talking about that balance looks different on each one of us. And there's an illusion that balance is a one-size-fits-all, like this goal. And if you hit this, you're there. And that's why so many people say balance isn't possible, because nobody can hit a one-size-fits-all. We're made differently. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. So the kind of balance I'm talking about is an ebb and a flow. It's a life rhythm. There has to be a momentum for us to run this race and win this race. So that I kind of refer to three components of balance: input, output, recovery. Input is nourishment. So that could be nourishment physically, your food, nourishment, what you expose your life to, entertainment, friends, the stuff that you read, spiritual nourishment, the Word of God, good radio, that kind of a thing. Nourishment, it's input, right? And then output is your response to what's been deposited in you, and then recovery. And what imbalance happens when we emphasize one at the expense of the others, and suddenly we're out of whack. And that's why we got to pay real close attention and take inventory of how we're doing life, if we're out of balance, because it's not without consequence. There are side effects to too much input, too much output, right? So here's just a few food laws to live by, just to help you out a little bit. I would say stay away from fad diets and think more of a lifestyle change. You know, we're in such a quick fix society that people want to take a pill, do something quick, but this is a long haul thing. So stay away from fad diets and just start to just think, I'm going to make a few tweaks to my overall practice, so to speak, and you will, in the long run, you will feel better. You will, your body will change. Another one I would say, and this I'm going to step on a few toes, so I hope you still love me after this one, give up soda or at least cut back. And it's a hot button, I know, but it is bad for you. It's toxic for you. And even diet soda, if you're drinking diet soda because you don't want the sugar, it's almost impossible to lose weight on diet soda, and it's just bad. It's draining strength from your bones. It keeps you from absorbing good nutrients from other foods. So at least cut back. Are we still friends? Okay. Drink plenty of water. Water does for you what soda does against you, but it hydrates you, it lubricates your system, it helps you metabolize your food, it helps your organs work properly. Super, super important. That's just a few things of the benefits of water. Here's another one. Budget your treats. I used to think that if I ate a candy bar in a dark closet, it wasn't fattening, but I found out it was. I used to do these mental gymnastics, like if I just sneak a little bite, sneak a little this, and the thing is your body knows what you're doing, right? And so I would just say budget treats rather than feeling guilty and just kind of making it a practice, plan for it. And, you know, I have a friend who doesn't eat sweets during the week, and then she enjoys her treats a lot on the weekends. She'll have a big old piece of cheesecake and love every minute of it. Here's another one. Keep it colorful. Keep your diet colorful. Don't overload on any one food item. We tend to default to the same foods over and over again. Color is just great. I would say minimize artificial sweetener intake. Don't have time to get into that, but it's not good for you unless you have issues with diabetes and, of course, talk with your doctor. Remember the metabolic rule. And here's the thing is if you go longer than 3 hours without eating, your metabolism starts to drop. And when you finally do eat, your body's going into famine mode and you'll burn calories so much slower. So it's good to keep your metabolism up, and it's good to have protein several times a day. So I would have snacks like apple with peanut butter or a protein bar, but kind of keep food coming every few hours. That'll make you eat smaller meals as well, which is really always better and easier on your digestive system. Here's another one. Choose your vitamins and your supplements wisely. They're not all the same, and not everybody needs the same thing. In fact, I think it's wise to talk with your doctor, and I would spend the money on the supplements because the ones that are cheap may do more harm than good, just saying. I would say don't eat at night. That makes it really difficult to sleep. I would determine not to eat maybe after 8 p.m. unless you're this person. If you wake up every night and you're up for about 2 hours, experts say oftentimes that's because you have a low blood sugar issue. And you might just want to try this. Then you want a little bit of protein before you go to bed because that levels out your blood sugar. So half of a Lara bar, peanut butter Lara bar, or something that's got some protein in it, have a little protein at night right before you go to bed. And if that keeps you sleeping, that you're the person who needs it, all right? I would say practice partial fasts where you give up certain things that you're just grabbing hold of and you got to have and you're crabby if you don't have them. There's something so sacred and beautiful about saying no to your flesh and making your flesh deal with it. So I challenge you, if even like during the week or one day a week where you go, I'm not having any sweets on Wednesdays, or I'm not having any party foods on Wednesdays, practice partial fast. Get your body into the rhythm of doing that. It's super good for you to say no to yourself and make yourself deal with it. It's super good for your system to just have a break from some of that stuff that's so hard on you, right? And I would say deal with your idols. And that goes into hand in hand with the practicing partial fasts. If there's stuff that you make so many accommodations for that you're crabby if you don't get them, deal with that because you'll have a greater freedom if you're willing to lay those down. And you'll be amazed, really, at how much better you do when you're willing to lay down the stuff that you're making too many accommodations for. And where has the time gone? My goodness. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about rest. And I wish I had more time. I wish I would have left more time to do this. But here are a few suggestions to help set the tone for your bedtime. I'm challenging you, and you hear this from me all the time, make time and space for that nighttime routine. If there's any way you can give yourself 9 hours, I'm saying this, to turn the screens off, and part of that 9 hours is maybe drinking a cup of tea, reading a book, exhaling, practicing gratitude, but you've got to transition into rest. You've got to help your body. Most people are on the computer till late at night, and your brain is working because of the lights from your screen, and you're not getting the kind of rest you need. So cut off, let there be a definitive mark between your work life and your rest life. Shut things off. Find a book that's just an engaging story or a book of, you know, prayers that makes you think about the Lord. Read a book. Drink some nighttime herbal tea. I'm a big proponent of Epsom salt baths, and I love, I'll just say, Dr. Teal's Epsom salts. I love those. They come with essential oils like lavender, eucalyptus, and if you have a bathtub and you're able to do this, use like a third of the bag, a pound of Epsom salts. Soak in that tub for about 20 minutes or more if you're able. Has a huge detoxing effect, and the lavender will help you just breathe it in. You just breathe in and exhale and thank God for your day. I'm telling you, if you start to make these kinds of things priority, you will sleep better. I would say don't lie down more than an hour before bed. And this is the caveat. If you're dealing with adrenal fatigue, this doesn't apply to you. But if you spend too much time in bed, like you're working on your laptop in your bed, you won't sleep super well. As much as you can, cut out the caffeinated and sugar beverages. And I'm going to say, with full disclosure, I have my one cup of coffee every morning, and I love it. But I'm just saying, coffee and sugar, especially later in the day, for sure will interrupt your sleep. And then finally, I would say guard your mind. Guard your mind at night. I would say practice gratitude. Get your heart into that good, good place. And finally, as we get ready to wrap and pray, we'll pray here in just a moment. I want to tell you about the effects of imbalance. We talked input, output, and rest, right? Too much input, not enough output. Well, the effect is overweight, lack of energy, increased risk of disease, injury, depression, in extreme cases, obesity-related diseases. Too much output, where you don't have enough input, undernourished. Also, increased risk of disease, illness, injury, and they tend to be weak in relationships. Isn't that interesting? Too much rest, where you're just kind of laying around all the time, atrophy sets in, muscles get soft, and strength is swallowed up in weakness. Too little rest, weakened immunities, bodily systems break down. You're vulnerable to sickness and disease. So can you see, no matter what, you're vulnerable to sickness and disease when you're out of balance. Let's pray. But I pray that's a motivation for you. To make some necessary adjustments, because God wants you healthy, thriving, and strong. And there are things you can do that will deeply impact how you feel. So, Father, I pray for my friend listening today. Thank you that you love us, that you want us to flourish. You came that we would have life and life abundantly. So here we are. We open our hands. Show us, God, what needs to go, what commitments need to go. Show us what mindsets need to go, Lord. Show us what boundaries we need to put around our schedule so there's a definitive line between work and rest, between family time and busy time, Lord Jesus. Show us what's wise for us in this particular season. Help us find the ebb and the flow. Help us to know when to rest and how to rest so that we can be nourished, so that we can last long and finish strong, Lord. We call on you now. We ask you, speak to our hearts about our schedule, about our diet, about our health, about our mindset, so we can be everything you intended us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, I pray this has been an encouragement for you today. It's been sure fun being with you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want to remind you again, we've got 5 copies of this book, my book, In Over Your Head, to get into your hands. If you want to enter the drawing, email me directly, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put balance or In Over Your Head. Don't forget the mailing address. And then finally, remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a really great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.